I have a sermon to preach today that I'm going to finish if I start right now. I want to preach a sermon entitled Peace That Surpasses. And I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Peace that surpasses. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And if I rejoice, if I am gentle, if I'm anxious over nothing, if I come in thanksgiving, if I let my request be known to God, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the people said, amen. You may be seated. God bless you and thank you again for standing in honor of the reading of God's word. There was a very wealthy man who was caught up in the clamor of business. In fact, he had several businesses that he was operating at one time, and he sat at the helm of all those. And he found in his heart that sometimes peace was hard to come by. You ever been there? Just life is going by, and you just don't feel settled. You just don't have peace. So this guy had always leaned to the arts, and so he decided that he would commission a couple of artists. And he asked both of those men that he commissioned, he said, I want you to do something for me, and the man who does this right and gets my heart, to him I'll give $50,000. So he said, what I want you to do is I want you to paint me a picture, and the picture that I want you to paint is a picture that would just bring me to a peaceful place. So the artist went to work. At the appointed time, the time for the paintings to be uncovered, they came back into the presence of this man who was seeking peace. At the appointed time, the coverings were removed from the first painting. A sigh came deep from within the heart of the man who was seeking peace. He looked at the picture. It was a mountain stream flowing into a beautiful blue mountain lake. It was adorned with fall foliage all around it, Ted. The sun was rising in the east, illuminating the rocks and the mountains around the lake, and there were songbirds fluttering around in the air above the lake and above the water. There was even a deer with a fawn standing on the edge of the water, drinking from water that had no ripple. It was perfect. The man had a mood of peace that kind of flowed over his heart, and he looked at the details of the painting, and it seemed absolutely perfect to him. So with the first painting in mind, they covered it so as not to be confused between the two. They uncovered the second painting. The call was given for that second artist to reveal his picture, and as the covering fell to the floor, there was sort of a gasp from the man who wanted to find peace. The painting was on a vertical format up and down. It was a very long piece of canvas. And the painting showed this. It was a huge waterfall that was falling over the precipice of a rocky crag of landscape, falling deep, in fact, hundreds of feet into a pool below that was just turmoil and turning. And after falling those hundreds of feet down, it crashed into that pool of turbulence. And the spray of the water was ferocious and unsettling, and it looked like it was going over everything, and the water in the pool itself, the basin of jagged granite rock, was a swirling, milky, gray, brown color. There was nothing in the painting that offered peace that the man sought. Peace. Peace is something everybody wants. Through the years of my ministry, Brother Cliff, there have been a numbers of times, Brother Kyle, that people have come to me and they begin their conversation saying to me, I'm just not at peace. Inside me is turmoil. Inside me are murky brown waters that swirl. I am just not at peace in my life. And I can't tell you how many times I've quoted Philippians 4:7. To those people who come to me and say, you know, I really want to have peace in my heart. And I go to that verse and I quote that verse to him. I have prayed that verse of scripture, I don't know, thousands of times. I never failed to pray that prayer of praying with someone who loses a loved one. That the peace of God would pass over your heart and pass over your life. And it would just be something that you couldn't describe other than saying it's God's peace. The desire for peace has found its way into my life so many times and even in my own heart. There are times that I allow Satan to get to me and I'm just not peaceful. In 50 years of marriage and 50 years of ministry nearly, there have been times I've been hurt. There have been times that my heart hurt deeply and I'm just not at peace. And there have been times that I've sought God for that peace. I like peace over chaos, I discovered most. How many of you would rather be in chaos than you have be in peace? How many of you want to be in peace? Oh, most of you, some you'll come along, the rest of you along the way. We just like peace, and I tell you, there's nothing quite like the peace we can have in God Himself. If our walk in our life is framed on all sides by God Himself, I'll assure you, peace will be in your heart if you come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In my life, in the times that I've been down in the dumps and blue, you ever been there? I didn't reach and take a pill. I got on my knees before God and said, forgive me. And when I did, it always seems like God comes into my heart and he just energizes me and I get a new beat about my heart. Do you recall the peace that flooded your soul when you came to Jesus? I went to Calvary Baptist Church on a fluke. I didn't want to go. My wife wanted to go and so I went. I continued to have that problem the first year of my marriage I had when I was a child. I had a drug problem. My mom and daddy drugged me to church, and my wife drugged me to church. I went that day, and I didn't really want to be there. But my friend, I cannot explain for you what happened to me about 10 or 12 rows back in that sanctuary that morning on a Saturday when deacons were deaconing and doing a labor and renewal weekend. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to my heart. The Holy Spirit stood me up and I went down and I took a pastor by the hand and I said, I am a sinner bound for hell. I want Jesus in my heart. And I want you to know something. From that day to this, that peace that passes all understanding has flowed over my life. Even in those times when I'm down in the dumps and it doesn't seem like everything's going, I'm hurt, somebody said something, somebody did something, I'm hurt in my heart, I still go back to the fact that Jesus Christ is my peace. So if you know Him, you know how to have peace in your life. The magnitude of peace that comes over our heart when we come to know Jesus. I left that church that day a different person. I wish I could tell you I stayed that way. You know the story down a few years down the road. I tried to run away from God. I said, God, you've made a mistake. You didn't call me to preach. Some of y'all still saying, he still ain't, brother. You ain't learned. He called me to do this, and I know he touched my life. And I want you to know there's a peace that surpasses all understanding in my heart. And it's all because of Jesus Himself. So here's what I want to do. I've introduced this thing. Let's explore peace for a minute. I really just have a few statements to you. They'd flunk me in preaching class. I knew that a long time ago. Peace surpasses all the thoughts of humanity. Christian peace. I'm not talking about the peace that all come down the sidewalks holding signs looking for. I'm talking about the peace that comes in your heart when you know Jesus. I would submit to you that if the world, if the United States, if Walker County, if Northside Baptist Church, the people in this church want to know peace, friends, you live for Christ. And I'll assure you, He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. A lot of people don't understand where peace comes from. People try everything in the world to have peace. I was talking to a deputy sheriff yesterday. Not that he stopped me. He was with me in my truck. I was talking to Jonathan Moore. Jonathan was telling me about the numbers of people they stop on a regular basis that are addicted to drugs. And the number of people that are addicted to alcohol. My wife and I started home one day not long ago, and we got behind a man in the middle of the night, got behind a vehicle in the middle of the night. The brake light was on. We sat there for a few minutes. Nothing happened. We passed by. My wife said, maybe something's wrong. We went back to the vehicle, and when we got back there, I saw a man slumped over the steering wheel. I thought he was dead. I didn't want to get out in case he wasn't. You know, he might hurt me. And so I thought, I'm not going to get out, so we called 911. He was so heavily intoxicated, he thought he was home. And he was right in the middle of the street. Thank God he didn't stop in the middle of 980. He at least got off the road before he stopped. There are all kinds of things out there that people are exploring to have peace, but I want to let you know something. I want you to consider with me the definition of what peace is in the world. Most of us define peace as an absence of conflict. If there's no upheaval in our life, if there's nothing going on that's not right in our plans, we say things are good. But if there's upheaval, if there's difficulty, we say that we're not very peaceful. I want to let you know something. That definition falls dreadfully short of what really peace is. Real peace comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Biblical peace is so much deeper than the shallow idea that the world has about peace. It is real peace to know Jesus. Peace, the Bible says, as I read to you a few moments ago, that surpasses the very thoughts and ways of humanity. We can't imagine until we've experienced that kind of peace. It's biblical peace that I'm speaking of. It's this deep, abiding peace. And with these thoughts in mind, deep, abiding, biblical peace that Christ gives, with these thoughts in mind, let's start to talk about real peace. Real peace comes from the Bible. It comes from the story of Jesus. In Baptist life, we say we've been saved. Have you been saved?
Yes.
Have you been saved?
Yes.
If you have not, today's your day.
Amen.
In Baptist life, we say that in many evangelical churches, they say, we've been saved. In other churches, they use other terminology that I worry about sometimes. Listen, I want the world to know that I am saved, saved, saved by the blood of Jesus. I have been reconciled to God. My original sin has been replaced by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 speaks about being justified through faith. And those of us who have peace with God have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, we now have peace in our heart that supersedes all other things. You can get me, but you can't get me down. You can fuss at me, but you can't make me mad too long. I've been mad a time or two in my life, and most of the time I acted a fool when I was. You ever done that? Never mind. Romans chapter 5 speaks about being justified through faith, and those who are experiencing peace with God have been justified through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 identifies those outside of Christ, the handful of you, the 20 of you, the 30 of you, I don't know, that may be in this building today that don't know Jesus Christ, you are considered in the Bible alienated from God. See, God created every one of us. He gave his only begotten son to die for us, that we be reconciled, that we could come back to him. And he has purchased us. We are a purchased possession of God himself through giving Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if you don't know Jesus, you're alienated. Somebody's going to go home and say, the preacher called me green. You're alienated if you don't know Christ. The only way to bridge the gap between original alienation, boy, that's new theology, huh? The only way to bridge the gap between original alienation, that is, I am born in sin, the only way to bridge that gap and the chaos that comes with it is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and realize redemption and realize that you can be a purchased possession of God. God has sent his son to die for you so that you can be a purchased possession. And because of the resurrected Savior, because the grave couldn't hold him and the grave can't hold me, because the grave couldn't hold him, he came to bring us peace with God. And if you're at peace with God, you got it made. If you're at peace with God, nothing can ever supersede that. Nothing can get in the way. I want to get that in a minute. The saved are at peace with God. That's what genuine peace looks like. Now, how many of you in this building have been saved again? That's everybody. I'm still going to give an invitation. You thought you'd get out of it, but I'm not. Once you get salvation and you get peace, I have this question come to me sometimes, how you keep it? Once you get it, how you hold on to it? I got good news for you. I think it's important to remember what Jesus has to say about peace and where it came from. I want you to know something that Jesus said. He's talking to his disciples, and he says this in John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace that you have in salvation is peace given to you by Christ himself. And the Bible tells me that when Jesus gives me something, he's not an Indian giver. Have you ever, I know that's probably not a politically correct term anymore. We used to call it Indian givers. My brother would give me something and later on take it back. He was an Indian giver. I'm not sure where the terminology arised. I'm somewhere down the line before me. But Jesus Christ does not take something back from you once he gives it to you. When he gives you the peace that passes all understanding as a gift from him, it is the only sure peace that you will ever have in your life, and it comes from a relationship with Jesus. Now, I got to beat this drum for a second. The only sure peace comes from a relationship. Say that word, relationship.
Relationship.
Now the rest of you say it.
Relationship.
The only real peace comes from knowing Jesus and having a relationship with him. I want to share with you a few verses that exemplify what I want to say to you. If you don't know them, you need to know them. If you don't know these verses of Scripture, you need to know them. Jot them down. I've often repeated them to the devil. Have you ever quoted Scripture to the devil? Let me tell you something. If you quote Scripture to the devil, it's like shooting a guy with a taser gun. You ever seen that? I was going to demonstrate, but I'm not brave enough. I saw a video the other day of a man out on Highway 30 a few years ago, stripped off all his clothes, remember? And ran down the median. And he encountered a worker for the highway department, and he thought he could hit that man, and when he hit for him, the man hit him. And he knocked him down, his neck and tail hit the ground, and he jumped up ready to fight some more, and about that time, a Huntsville police officer out there, and he fell like a tree. Instantly. Listen to me. When you know that you know Jesus Christ, nothing can knock you down. Nothing can take it away from you. Nothing can get in the way of what God gives you through Christ. And I oftentimes say to the devil, leave me alone, get thee behind me. And every time I do, it's like shooting him with a taser. He gets out of the way. Oh, he comes back, but he gets out of the way. I often repeat the words of Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 to him. You know this? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord.
Amen.
Did you hear what that said? Nothing, say that, nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, say it like you mean it.
Nothing
can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So once I have the peace that comes to my life by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody can take that from me. So you get the peace of God through Jesus, and nothing on this planet can take it from you. Now, here's something you got to understand. I got to stay here for just a second. Having a relationship with Jesus goes beyond your initial encounter. Got it? It goes beyond your initial encounter. I'm not saying that you, once you encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, invite him in your heart, it's a done deal. But what I am saying to you is along the way, some of y'all don't gain any weight in your relationship with Christ. So this relationship I'm talking about happens after that first encounter. I want to borrow a statement from Jesus if I can. He calls Simon Peter with him to be his disciple. And what he did, I want you to imagine this. Simon has been fishing, and he hadn't caught much. Sounds like me when I go fishing. And Jesus comes along and just gets in the boat with him. I mean, he didn't know him from Adam. But Jesus got in the boat with him. He said, Simon, get out of the water just a little bit. And when he got out of the water a little bit, Jesus preached to a multitude of people who gathered. So Simon's boat became a pulpit. And he preached the gospel, Jesus did. And he let those people around him know what was important. Here's what he said, particularly to Simon Peter. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, so the sermon was over. And Simon didn't paddle away. He stayed right there. The sermon was over, and Jesus said this to him, launch out into the deep. Let that soak in a second. Launch out into the deep. I submit to you that that's what so many people never do. Jesus gets in the boat, so to speak, in your life, and he says to you, launch out into the deep. That is, get out there, get neck deep in studying, get neck deep in praying, get in me, get in my word. And the problem is so many people don't do that. I'm amazed at the number of people who say to me, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I quote some little verse of scripture that I've known since I was a little bit, even before I came to Christ, and they kind of look at you like, is that really in the Bible? It really is. So many people never launch in that relationship with Jesus. They listen, we need to launch out into the deep in that relationship. You understand what I'm saying? We don't need to be shallow. We need to launch out into the deep in a relationship with God, in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It is formed by what Jesus has given us, peace. And that relationship is solidified and becomes real over a period of time. I understand more today about Jesus than I did when I was saved. I understand more about the Word of God. Let me share. I know I don't have time, but I got you right now, okay? If you leave, I'm going to come out there and tackle you. I love Neil Frank's testimony. Neil Frank, I've shared this a number of times lately. It's just got me. Neil Frank used to be the weatherman on Channel 11, ran the National Hurricane Center down in Florida for a long time. Neil Frank said that one time he took his kids to Sunday school in church, and he was there and said he ran into this airline pilot. We got a few of those guys here in the church, and he ran into this airline pilot, and the airline pilot said, Neil, why are you here? He said, well, I'm here because I want my kids to be raised in church. And what he said next, Dr. Frank said, it really made him mad. He said, Neil, do you suppose there's anything here for you? He said, that just boiled my blood. He said, so I set out in my life from that moment forward to prove there was no God. He said, one day I was driving down the freeway going to the National Hurricane Center. I was frustrated in my search. I couldn't find anything to disprove God. He said, so I just slowed down, looked out the windshield, looked up into the heavens, said, God, if you're really real, I need that Jesus in my life. He said, I didn't see any lights flashing or hear the heavenly choir. He said, truth is, when I got to the office, I nearly forgot about it. I had a hurricane brewing out there. So he got home that night and sat down in his easy chair and reached over and moved a bunch of magazines out of the way and things and found a Bible underneath there. He said, I opened it up, and when I opened it up, somebody had messed with my book. He said, all of a sudden, I understood what I was reading. The problem people have with the Word of God, you don't launch out of the deep where you get an understanding of what God is. He wants to interpret the Word for you, to you, if you'll get it and read it. Amen. And if you do that, it's amazing what happens in your relationship with Christ. Amen. Your relationship comes from the Bible. It comes from digging into the Word of God. It comes from doing something that all of us do. Sometimes I don't think we do it right. We pray. I've discovered that most people pray when there's crisis. Let me challenge you with something. Pray when there's not. Let me challenge you, just go before God, get on your face, get on your knees, stand up, drive down the road, whatever you're doing, position of your prayer doesn't really matter. It matters that you pray. And I dare you, I challenge you, I double dog dare you. Tell God you love him and show him that you love him in your life. When you have peace that passes understanding, that's what. Now, that relationship, it has to be shaped. It's kind of like something that doesn't have shape to it until you're shaped, and the relationship is shaped by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit delivers to us a bountiful cornucopia of fruit in our life. It's bigger than the things we see at Thanksgiving. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Your life has to be shaped by those things. And the deeper you go with Jesus, the more they'll shape. Peace in your life matters to the one who knows Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you recognize the fruit of the Spirit in your life and start infiltrating those fruits into your life. Now, caution. Say that word, caution. Caution. Have you ever seen a caution sign? Yeah. I've seen a number of caution signs in my life, both physically and spiritually. You ever seen a spiritual caution sign? You know it ain't right. Caution. Caution means look out, be careful here. Caution. As surely as you have God-given peace, as surely as you know the Lord Jesus Christ, caution, there is an adversary. There's one that's going to be after you from day one. Jesus defines Satan for us. I never capitalize his name. I don't show him the respect of capitalizing Satan with an S. I don't capitalize to him when I'm talking about him. In fact, he is a dog. He is a sleuth from hell, and I don't want anything to do with him. Jesus defined it. He was speaking to the Pharisees one day, that wonderful group of people he saw a lot of times. They brought him a woman who had been caught in adultery, and they wanted him to condemn her. Instead, Jesus sent her away, a changed woman. She came to peace through Christ. Then he further confronted his accusers, the Pharisees, and he defined for them Satan. Listen, John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand for the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks his native language, some translation says. This one says, from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus defines Satan. Now, how many of you want to be best friends with a liar? How many of you want to be in the presence of the one that can't tell the truth? See, Satan couldn't tell the truth because truth is a person, and that truth is Jesus, and he will nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus defined that adversary. So according to Jesus, Satan is a murderer. He doesn't stand for truth. He's a liar, and there's no truth in him. He's a fraud. And he's got one mission. I hate to tell him, the clock is ticking. And pretty soon, the clock is going to show zero, and Jesus Christ is coming. Amen. And Satan, who's defeated already, is going to finally have to own up to the fact that Satan, that Jesus has kicked him into the dust. If you seek Christ, you have a weapon against its adversary. The Bible calls him what he really is. 1 Peter 5 says he's a roaring lion seeking some he may devour. My son and I went on a mission trip to Africa. We were shooting ducks and doves. We went to a lion in habitat, little habitat of about 1,000 acres. It came time to feed those lions, and I thought about the devil when I saw this. There was a guy who was brave enough to sit in the back of a little small Toyota pickup. And he had with him a quarter of a carcass of an animal. And he's riding very quickly out into this truck that's being driven by his, they better be your friends. By his friends, they drive him out there to a post that's in the middle, and he just throws a chain over that post with a loop on it, and it drags that carcass out. And I want you to know immediately those lions attack it. That's what Satan wants to do. But you're the carcass. You're the one he wants to attack. And that's what he does. He attacks it, and he wants to destroy your relationship with Christ. Thank God he can't. The adversary is a defeated foe already. Your greatest defense is to trust in God. Trust in God. Now, I'm almost finished. Stay with me. Your greatest defense is to trust in God. Let me end with a very familiar passage from the book of Proverbs. It's one of my wife's favorite passages of Scripture. We have it around our house on different things. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't do it halfway. Don't come almost to the brink. Go all in. Give it your very best. Do everything you can to trust in the Lord in all things. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, in all of your ways, say all of my ways. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Seek him with all your heart, or your mind, and all your soul. About that artist. Which artist do you think won the prize? The 50 grand. The first painting was peaceful. It was a scene exactly what the man thought he wanted. It caused that seeker to take a deep breath in his chest and sigh a sigh of relief. But the artist that painted the second painting was dreadful. The scene was ferocious. The crashing water that fell into that pool won the prize. That guy got the 50,000. When the seeker asked the artist to define the painting for him, the seeker looked more intently at the painting and as the man described it, and he noticed something he hadn't noticed before. Over on the side of that pool of jagged rocks and misty water, water crashing down from hundreds of feet above, there was a single little tree growing straight up. And the artist told the guy seeking for peace, he said, "Look at that tree." And the guy looked at the tree intently and he said, "Do you see it?" He said, "See what?" He said, "Look again." When he did, he saw a bird's nest. And the mist was blowing up all around that bird's nest. And the artist told him, "Look closer. There's a bird in the nest." And he looked closer, and sure enough, there's this little bird sitting in this nest. And he says, he looked back at the artist, and he said, "Give me more. Tell me what I'm looking at here. Tell me what's going on here." And the seeker looked intently at that painting, and when he did, the artist said this. He said, "That bird knows at any moment a rock could come crashing over with that water and hit that tree and break it down and his nest would fall. He knows at any moment there could come a storm blowing into that channel and that canyon and it'd destroy that tree and his nest would be gone. He knew at any moment there could be a great flood up in the mountains and the water would come rushing down and cover that tree." He said, "But he's there in peace." The guy seeking peace kind of shook his head. He said, "I don't get it." He said, "You see, that bird knew all along that if something came crashing into that nest, he could fly. And he'd just fly away." Let me tell you something. Sometimes you got to step in the darkness of trust. You got to trust that when you take that next step, God's going to give you something. Stand on solid. Even though you can't see it, you're just trusting God for it. And when you take that step, if you find that there's nothing there that you feel like you can stand on, guess what? God's going to teach you to fly. He's going to take care of you. That's the peace that passes all understanding. No matter how rocky and terrible the picture might be, our God will give you something to stand on. Peace. He'll give you something to fly away with, peace. Peace that surpasses the understanding of the world. Father, I love you and I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity that's been mine to be your preacher. And Father, thank you for your word. And God, I pray right now that you would speak to the hearts and lives of individuals gathered in this room. Some, God, that have no peace because they don't know Jesus. And God, today, Lord, if they would open their mouths and speak to you and ask Jesus to come into their heart, you'd absolutely send him and save their life. And Lord, they would have peace that surpassed understanding because Jesus would be at the helm of their life. And Lord, I know there are people in this building, Lord, that are upside down, difficulties in their life. They know, Lord, that they know you, but they haven't walked very deep with you. And I know today, God, if they would commit their lives just to walk closer to you and deeper with you, you could give them that peace that's already there in their life You give them the ability to recognize, God, that you give peace that passes all understanding. God, there are those this feeling need to make a decision for you. They need to do, even as that bird, Lord, fly away, step out, trust you that you're going to give us something to stand on solid, or you'll teach us how to fly, Lord. You'll never, ever let us down. And I praise you for that. Father, you take this invitation. You do that now, Lord, as you see fit, and I will praise you, God, and I'll give you honor all the days of my life. You have been so, so good to me. Be good to us now. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me as you stand, would you come as God might lead you.